2 or 3 weeks ago, we were in the passage of 2 Chronicles chapter 16 from verse 7 through 10, among other passages. The lesson title was More God Confidence Instead of Self-Confidence. But as I did then, I do now. I'm not crying down self-confidence. In fact, self-confidence is important. The Almighty God wants us to have confidence in ourselves. And when we undertake anything, God wants us to believe in it and have confidence in that undertaking. But God does not want, well, let me first put it, the Almighty God wants a balance between self-confidence and confidence and trust in God. There ought to be that balance. God confidence is not replaced by self-confidence. We were there and we were looking at King Asa as a good example of how self-confidence or confidence in other people or other things can either destroy or replace God confidence. I think it was in that first lesson I pointed out that God confidence helps us to forget our weaknesses. That is when a man or a woman has confidence in God in pursuing whatever you are pursuing or undertaking in life. That confidence, that faith, that trust in God can help us forget our weaknesses, our inability, our limitation, and our powerlessness. That is God's confidence. And this is what Paul was talking about in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear that.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
You know how comprehensive the man was? Not that I can do some things. Not that I can do a lot of things. What did he say, brother?
I can do all things.
True?
Through Christ, which strengthens me.
That's confidence. We can have that confidence. Look at Jeremiah. Chapter 2, verse 12 through 13.
Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this.
Start again.
Be astonished.
Be astonished.
O ye heavens.
O ye heavens.
At this.
At this.
And be horribly afraid.
And be horribly afraid.
Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns.
Wait, you know, they have forgotten God. How God describes himself, dear brother?
Fountain of living waters.
Fountain of living water. And they replaced God with what?
And hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns.
That means, brother, you're not a countryman like me. That means it leaks. You see, we understand you can carry a vessel, try to carry water in it, but it has hole. So as you place the water in it and carry the water, it leaks out. And the Almighty God is saying, a lot of times, when you put others in God's place and things in God's place, that's what you end up getting. Cistern, vessel that cannot hold water. This means for us. Wait, you had read verse 13? Oh, okay. This means they are our good and bad experiences, the positive and the negative experience, the Almighty God are able to bring out of those experiences help, benefit, strength, experience to make us wiser. That is, whatever the experience you and I may have, if you or I give the Almighty God a chance to be a part of our lives and a part of our activity, the Almighty God can make whatever the experience, good or bad, positive or negative, serve our purpose. I can just imagine those years when Joseph was in prison. When Joseph was knocked to and from with just pure bad experience, his brothers hated him. And that hate reached the point where they want him dead. They throw him in a pit, hoping that he would stay there and perish. Then one of them, conscience, but they took him out and they sold him as a slave. I can imagine. Then he was thrown into prison. But all those were steps that the Almighty God was leading Joseph through to exalt the man to be the minister of finance or economic minister of the land of Egypt. The Almighty God can make any of our experiences, however bad they look to us, God can permit them to serve our best purposes. More God confidence. And a little less man confidence. We pointed out, or picking up, that King Asa of Judah. At that time, the one kingdom was divided. That was not God's will, but God permitted it. You have Judah, which was only two tribes, and you have the other part of the kingdom, which was 10 tribes. Asa was king of Judah. His trust. There's a brilliant part of that man's life, that king's life. But there is a part of his life where trust in God was misplaced. The trust and the confidence. And watch here now. For the past many weeks, every time I announced or spoke about it, to have a lesson in one of the Sunday night that bad memory works against us. And I'm not talking the fact that so many times you try to remember things and you just can't remember it. I'm talking of bad memory which come as a result of you not trying to remember. Or you don't think the thing is that important to call for extra effort to remember the thing. Watch here. God wants us to put out effort to remember truth. Because when we remember truth, it will better help us. Asaph misplaced trust and confidence. His bad memory were responsible for his own defeat, failure, and misery. This man had many pluses, many good points. Let us look at chapter 16 that was read, verse 7 through verse 9. Second Chronicles 16.
And at that time,
Hananiah,
the seer,
that means the prophet,
came
as the man who God revealed things to for that man to deliver God's message to Israel, or the leader of Israel. He's called the seer. That's not an obvious man. Read on.
Came to Asa,
that's the king.
King of Judah.
Uh-huh.
And said unto him,
uh-huh,
because thou hast relied on the king of Syria.
Did you read that properly, brother? Let us hear it again.
Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria.
Are you following me? Because you have relied on the king of
Syria.
For one thing, that's a Gentile king. He had no right to that. Not only that, don't let me go back. Asa had some powerful, positive experience in trusting in God. And when I preach the first lesson, I promise you that to bring context to what we read in chapter 16, verse 7 through verse 10, to give context to that, we would have to go back to chapter 14. But don't go back there yet. Rely on the king of Syria. Ladies and gentlemen, watch here. What you and I are learning is that a lot of time, the very place we put our trust may bring failure. You see, don't miss that lesson. Because that is a lesson, part of some of what God expects us to gain from this. A lot of time, where you or I put our trust and our confidence, forgetting God, sometimes that alone caused God to send a message to us. Not miraculously, but providentially. Uh-huh. Pick up where you stop, brother.
Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria,
mm-hmm,
and not relied on the Lord thy God.
Wait. Man confidence instead of God's confidence. You should have relied on me. You should have trusted in me. I have demonstrated myself to you already, King Asa. Why have you gone to the Gentile king? Read on.
Therefore, is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand?
That should never be. Those Syrians should have been subdued, conquered by Asa. But God permitted them to escape simply because King Asa was depending on others to help him win the battle instead of depending on God. Read for, what verse are you, brother?
Verse 8.
Read on.
Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand.
Wait, the Ethiopian had an army of 1 million. That's the largest army that has been recorded in the Old Testament. I believe when you look in chapter 14 and verse 9, just run to it, one of you, that is 9:14, chapter 14 of the same book of 2 Chronicles, verse 9 of chapter 14. I think that's what I want.
And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000.
Wait. That doesn't count the chariot. You know. 1,000,000. That is 1,000,000. No, that is a big army. That's right. That is, I don't know if Kingston reached 1,000,000 yet. It probably do. A army of 1,000,000. That doesn't count. There's some other.
And 300 chariots.
300 armored tank. That's right. 300. That's the Israel could never match that. But watch here. You see, the brother is in 2 Chronicles 14. That's real. But you see, we have been concentrating on chapter 16. Now, what? Notice what the Almighty God is doing here. The Almighty God is taking the memory of Asa back to when the Ethiopian army of over 1,000,000 soldiers fought against Israel, but Israel defeated them at that time. What time, Brother Mitchell? In chapter 14. The brothers just read that in verse 9 of chapter 14. But we have been concentrating on chapter 16 and verse 7 through verse 9. The Almighty God in 16, 7 through 9 is saying to Asa the king, watch me now, watch here. You should have just remembered that just few years ago, the size of the Ethiopian army and the victory that I gave you, had you remembered that, you would not be now not just seeking help from a Gentile army, but watch here, stripping, stripping the temple. You're not there, or are you there? You are there. Stripping the temple to bribe the Gentile king to come and give you support. In fact, you read verse 9.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth.
You see, and even we today need to learn that. Watch it. The eyes of the Almighty God is still all over the world, all over the universe, with a specific purpose in mind.
To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward
everybody
him.
Everybody hear that? That is not just ancient truth. The Almighty God is looking all over to make sure that he is there for you if you are a true child of God. And I'm talking today. But Brother Mitchell, that was in the Old Testament, yes. But you see, what is stated there is everlasting truth and everlasting ways of God. What is stated in verse 9 of what the brothers just read is not dispensational. It is God's everlasting, forever attitude towards men and women who love him and are faithful to him. God wants to be there for you and me. Permit him now. You see, God has condition. Are we all there? So what we see here in verse 7 of what the brothers just read from chapter 16 is misplaced trust and confidence, which can cause the Almighty God to remove blessings and opportunity for us. Did you get that? When our trust and our confidence are misplaced, it may cause the Almighty God to remove from us blessings, to remove from us opportunity. Another thing that I have said that play a negative role for Asa is bad memory or forgetfulness. That became a costly liability to Asa, and it is liability to us. When you forget that 10 years ago you had lost your job, your rent was due, and when you check all the good friends, their backs were against the wall, they couldn't help you. But out of the blue, the Almighty God sends somebody, or speak to a friend, providentially to send you some money through Western Union. Now, it so happened that for months or years you have not heard from that friend. But at the very critical time when you need it, that was the time it was sent. But you see, you had forgotten all of that. How God came to your aid and help when you most needed it. And here your back is against the wall now. This time it's not rent. You have been paying your mortgage, and within the next year you're going to finish paying for your house. But you're facing a little difficulty now. And then, instead of trusting in God, you turn to pick three. Isn't there a gambling team that called that, brother? I ask you because I know you. Yes, you turn to gambling or other ungodly ways to raise that money. God has helped you to reach the point where within a short while you will pay for that house. My God, still trust him now. That's what happened to Asa. And that's what I meant when I said bad and forgetful memory can be a costly liability, not only to Asa, but to us in our dealing with God and man. Failure to remember can be costly. Are we all there? Verse 8 of chapter 16 take us back to chapter 14, 9 through 15. Let me hear verse 8 now again, brother. I know you read it, so, you know, I know you read it. I just want to hear it again of chapter 16. Another brother can turn to chapter 14, 9 through 15.
Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord.
You see, the emphasis, brother, is yes. Here, this took place in chapter 14, verse 9, somewhere about there. Watch here now. What the Almighty God is doing in 2 Chronicles 16, and you're at verse 8, huh? Yes. What God is doing, because Asa's faith and trust wobble, that's not good for him or for us. Many times, watch here now, as the years progress, we become weaker and weaker Christian. Are we all there? That's not good. Time spent with Christ should add to our trust and confidence and faithfulness. Time spent with Jesus Christ should help us to be more faithful Christian. Huh? But what we have noticed is that time spent with Christ for so many, they begin to take the church, Christianity, their relationship with Christ for granted. And little by little they become lukewarm Christian. That's not good. So this is why God now, at this point, was it about 14 years after, if my memory serves me right, about 14 years after, the Almighty God is taking Asa back to his experience, his positive and good experience with God when he trusted in God. And a lot of times we need to be taken back. Let me hear it in chapter 14 now, brother. Whoever have it, verse 9 through 15, quick now. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 9 following.
And there came out against them,
that is against the Israelite,
Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000.
That is 1,000,000.
And 300 chariots.
And 300 chariots.
And came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him.
Asa did not run from that battle, even though he was so outnumbered by the Ethiopian because he trusted in God. Trust in God makes the difference. It did so then, and it is doing so in our time. Read on.
And they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha and Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help.
May I? The brother is reading verse 11. Am I right? This is one of the most enlightening, encouraging prayer in the entire Bible. You know, may I? What this prayer that is found in verse 11 of chapter 4, what it reveals, it's that it's good to know God. Because the king Asa, the same King Asa that we are reading about in chapter 16, here you have him in chapter 14. King Asa's prayer expressed knowledge of God. A lot of times that's what we lack. A lot of times we are dealing with a God that we have not taken time off to get to know. We are too busy pursuing our secular, material, social, or political goals and objectives. So from when we come in church last Sunday, we pick up the Bible. And from we reach home and put it down, we don't pick it up again. So we do not know God. The prayer in verse 11 tells us that this man knew God. And that makes all the difference, then and now. Verse 11 again, brother.
And Asa cried unto the Lord his God.
That means he's praying to God.
And said,
he said,
Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power.
You get that? God, you are the type of God. You are so great. It's no big thing for you, God, to use many or few to help. That's knowledge of God. That's confidence in God. We need to have a little of that. Because your pocket is empty doesn't mean that God's pocket is empty. Because you are weak through that illness you have been going through doesn't mean that God is also sick. A lot of time we act like we are sick. And you act like God is also sick, so you can't help. Read further, brother.
Help us.
Help us.
O Lord our God. For we rest on thee.
We rest on thee.
And in thy name.
In thy name.
We go against this multitude.
O
Lord.
Thou
art our God. Let not man prevail against thee.
Wait. You'll notice here. Oh my God. It is like an invocation pressing home the challenge of relationship and the responsibility that comes with it. Here the man is praying, and in his prayer, because of the relationship that exists with the Almighty God and Israel, Asa, that little part you have just read, brother,
Help us.
Help us.
O Lord, our God. For we rest on thee.
We rest on you.
And in thy name.
In thy name.
We go against this multitude.
That is by your authority, by your command. We are undertaking this battle.
O Lord. Thou art our God.
You are our God. Wait. That tells us that we are your people, God. We have a relationship with you, God. Read on.
Let not man prevail against thee.
And God, because of this relationship, you have a responsibility to us. We are looking to you, God, to execute, to carry out your responsibility. Wait, God. If the Ethiopian army succeed in prevailing against us, it means they would prevail and succeed against you. That's faith. Notice. Read that last part again.
O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee.
It's not that the man, the singular man there, is referring to the army of the Ethiopia. And prevail against thee is that they are placing God in their position. They are acting as if God is the one fighting the battle. And in fact, they were right, because God was fighting the battle for the Israelite. This is confidence. This is just the man's knowledge that God does not need to have a large army to match the Ethiopian army. God could just as well use one angel to carry out his purpose. This shows the knowledge of the man, of Asa. Oh, so much in this lesson. As I think of wrapping up, because there's so much to be shared here, and that is not only that in this passage of chapter 14 we have this great prayer, that is chapter 14 verse 11, we have here in his prayer an affirmation of faith, confidence in the Almighty God. And this, as I've said, is one of the prayers in the Bible that just stands out. In this prayer, we are given joy and confidence. We are given optimism and faith. We are given in this prayer courage, strength, and hope. But just as I think of wrapping up, just previously I'd said 14 years, just 11 years after, this great king his faith became weak, his confidence in God also became shaky. And that confidence caused him to misdirected and misplace his trust. There are much more to share from the lesson, but let me say this as I wrap up. Let us be careful how we sell out our faith in the truth. Our trust in God and our confidence in what the Bible teaches. Over the past many decades, I have seen men and women in the church that have been taught, they have spoken confidently about how they felt about Jesus Christ and the truth. And yet sometimes we have seen men quickly give up the truth because the new wife they have found, because the new wife they have found give them a different interpretation to what they have been taught for years, and it has been confirmed and shown dozens of ways that what they have been taught is the truth. But it takes some time just finding a new wife. Sometime we have seen ladies finding a new husband make them have a different interpretation. They get a new revelation from God. How did they get it? That new husband or that new wife. I've seen men and women begin to doubt the truth that they cannot overthrow because of a business partner that show them ways they can make more money dishonestly. Are we all there? Or you're not there? What I'm saying, when Asa, I don't know if, I know I'm not going to get back to this lesson next week. I may touch on a few points, very important points that were to be part of the lesson where Asa had to even take step against his mother-in-law. That's great. Where a position she held because she encouraged idol worshiping. When he became king, he put a stop to that. These are some of the things that, but what I'm saying is that we have seen too many people gladly, willingly, hurriedly swap the plain New Testament truth for a new husband, a new wife, a new business venture, and a thousand other things. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, make sure you get a good grip. I don't care how long you have been in the church. A lot of times, that's our problem. We have been in the church so long, and have taken the church and the truth so for granted so long that we don't even realize how far we have slipped. and that we have not utilized all the opportunities given to us by Jesus Christ. Let us take a second grip. Let us put more effort in making sure that we know the truth. Paul talks about those who know and believe the truth. Asa made a terrible mistake after God had proven to him the good things that God is capable of doing when we trust in him. So while you maintain your self-confidence, please see that it does not replace your God confidence. Are you here today? You're not a Christian? Well, we are glad to have you. And you're at the right place if you're not a Christian. It's only the truth that God has brought to your attention this morning. The Almighty God wants you to act upon it. If you hear truth from God's word, don't put off acting on it. Become a child of God today, this morning. How do you become a child of God? Well, in any true church of Christ, it is done the same way it was done when the apostles of Christ were alive. You have to hear God's truth, and that ought to include the fact that Jesus Christ, who died at Calvary cross for your sin, he was in fact the Son of God. The Almighty God asks that you believe in him as God's Son, your Savior. The Almighty God asks that as a result of that belief, you repent of your sin, turning from sin to righteousness, from self to Christ, from the ungodly ways of the world to the wise and right ways of Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian when you repent? No, you have to move further towards Christ. You must be willing to confess your faith and repent of your sin and then be baptized. Yes, be baptized. Christening is not baptism. So don't let anybody sprinkle a little water on your head and tell you that you are baptized. And if you doubt me, go to Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through verse 5. That passage will show you that baptism is a burial in water. Do you know you can step forward this morning? Within a few seconds, we'll be standing up to sing a song which is sung to the honor and glory of Christ's name, but it is also an appropriate time for you to respond to Jesus' invitation of love. When Jesus Christ call on you, come ye, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ is calling you to give your life to him in obedience. That's when you become a Christian, when you obey the gospel. Through faith, repentance from sin, confessing of Christ's name, and getting buried, baptized in water for the removal of your sin. As we stand and sing, Jesus Christ calls you.